I guess maybe by choice or otherwise, have fasted for a day. Have you fasted for a day? At least one day, okay. I don't know if it was by choice or not. How many of you fasted for more than a day? You ever done it for more than a day, more than 24 hours? A few of you, okay. Regular fasting has many excellent health benefits and spiritual benefits when it's combined with prayer and meditation. Jesus told the disciples that some of the blessings or some of the answers to prayer only come from fasting. I don't know if you guys remember when the disciples tried to cast out these demons. Jesus said that there are some things that can only be accomplished with fasting and prayer. Fasting intensifies our desire and our hunger for God. This makes our time in prayer more effective as we learn to let go of the things of this world and to grab hold of the spiritual. This is the design that God gave us for fasting. Fasting from food also brings another intense desire. Do you know what that is? Come on. Are you guys with me? This has only been 2 minutes. We're only 2 minutes into this. You're with me. Fasting brings another intense desire, which is hunger. Okay? Hunger can be intense, and it can be painful. It's God's merciful design, a divine stimulus to send us looking for food when we hunger. The more critical the need becomes within us, the more severe the pain. It's our body's last drastic effort to rouse us to go seek renewal, to seek food. However, most of us in this room cannot relate to genuine hunger. You know, there's probably about maybe 7 to 10 hands that went up when I asked if you'd fasted for 24 hours. If you'd fasted for 24 hours, you probably had some real hunger pains. But anyway, most of us cannot relate to the hunger pains that Jesus is talking about in this passage. In Matthew 5, 6, when Jesus spoke to the crowd in the Sermon on the Mount, the people that he was talking to, he said, "Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because it is they who will be satisfied." Now his audience, remember back in this day, his audience was intimately familiar with the intense pain of hunger and thirst. The possibility of dehydration, living in amongst a deserted area, or starvation was never far from their minds, not only for their self, but their spouse, their kids, their family. What are we going to do if it doesn't rain? I mean, this was something they were intimately familiar with. Now, for most of us in our country, if we are hungry or thirsty, all we need to do is go to a water faucet, go to the refrigerator if we're hungry. And our hunger pains last about 5 minutes, don't they? Okay? Or as long as it takes to go to McDonald's or Casey's. Okay, is it 7 minutes to Casey's? I don't know how many minutes. For some of you, it's 3 minutes. Some of you can walk there. So our hunger pains do not last very long. We can't really relate to this. But hunger and thirst are gifts from God. They indicate life. If you were hungry, you were thirsty, that indicates life. A dead body feels no hunger and no thirst, just as a dead soul feels no hunger or thirst for righteousness. There's no holy desire within them. And this is what Paul meant when he said to the Romans, in our fallen state, none of us are hungering or thirsting, or desiring righteousness or God. He said this, Romans 3. No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. This is by definition what it means to have no holy desire within you and to be spiritually dead. So the question for us to consider as we dig into this beatitude is this. Right here, right now, in all honesty, are you hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness? Now, if not, perhaps you sitting here today have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never accepted His perfect righteousness into your life. All of us know that we are saved because of faith, because of God's grace. However, when God saved you, He saved you to become holy. God loves you exactly as you are, but He wants more for you than what you currently have. God saved you to become holy. He saved you to become righteous, to follow along closely with Him, to live your life in a way that pleases Him. That is God's design, His desire. And He accomplishes this work through the power of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a promise that God would, He would not leave you or forsake you. He would be present with you when you surrender and yield your life to Him. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, leading you, He's going to give you holy desires, a desire for righteousness. This is what Paul said in Galatians 5. Listen, the sinful nature, that is my nature, my human nature and yours, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So when the Holy Spirit is present in your life, He's working on the inside of you, changing who you are on the inside, on the inner working. He's actually giving you desires. He's actually giving you an appetite for holiness. This is how you know you're alive in Christ. Because there's something inside of you that wants to please God, that wants to do right. These opposite desires of our sinful nature is a desire for holiness. Now, if you have no hunger and no thirst for holiness, for righteousness, it is fair to wonder whether or not you are a child of God. Isn't that true? Now, think about this. Where do you find human beings with no appetite whatsoever? You find them no hunger, no thirst. You find them in a cemetery. That's the only place you find people, human beings, who have no hunger and thirst. Clearly, God gives you life, and He's given us hunger and thirst for righteousness to want. And what this means is God's approval, which we'll get into later. Now, since all of you are here today, I'm going to assume that there's at least a spark of hunger in your soul. Now, even if that desire is on life support, don't be discouraged, because there is hope for you today. You can walk out of here today filled and satisfied. You are not yet what you aspire to be. But guess what? Even that aspiration to be something you're not right now is a sign of life. Because the dead in heart have no such aspirations for a holy life. God designed you to want to know Him, and to know Him means to be righteous. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3, he said that God has planted eternity in the human heart. That means within your heart and mind there is a desire, it's wired into you. Unless it's been filled, you're going to experience and feel that. Augustine said this, speaking of God, he said, "You have made us for yourselves, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." Your heart is going to remain restless. You're going to continue to seek pleasure and desire and accomplishment and relationships and everything in this world to try to fill that desire. But it's going to remain restless. You're never going to be satisfied with things in this world. That is God's design. God wants our hearts restless until we are completely rested in Him. Let's consider some of these definitions as we look into this verse. Once we look at the definitions, then we'll look at what does it take to cultivate a hunger for God? And what obstacles keep us from experiencing this intense longing that God wants us to have? Because there may be something keeping you from experiencing that. I'm going to share a couple of verses, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, one from the Amplified and the other from a translation, Barclay. The Amplified edition, it says this, "Blessed, that is joyful, nourished by God's goodness, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek a right standing with God, for they will be completely filled." And Barclay says, "Oh, bless the man who longs for total righteousness, as a starving man longs for food, and as a man perishing of thirst longs after water, for that man will truly be satisfied." This word hunger in the Greek, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek because there's four words I'm going to share and I don't want to mess up four times, okay? But the Greek, it means this, hunger. It means to suffer want, to be needy, to feel the pangs of a lack of food, and to seek with eager desire. Thirst is, figuratively, those who painfully feel their want of those things which nourish the soul, supported and strengthened by it. And righteousness is the state of him who is as he ought to be, that is righteous, or approved of God, to have integrity and virtue, purity of life, rightness, and correctness in our thinking and our feeling. And this word for satisfied, this really says it all. It was used of feeding animals until they wanted nothing more. They were allowed to eat until they were completely satisfied. Now that's how you get a really big fat cat in your house, by the way, just so you know. Fontella knows what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding you. Okay. Let them eat till they're satisfied. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Do you want to be satisfied? I mean, it would be really abnormal if you didn't. But seriously, ask yourself, do I want to be satisfied? And even more so, do I want God Himself to give me satisfaction? Picture this in your mind. Do you want to sit at the table of our Lord and eat until you are satisfied? You know, that's what Moses said. This is not in my notes. When God was going to punish the Israelites, God said, "You know what? You guys can have this land, but I am not going with you." You guys remember that? "Go ahead. Have this land I promised. I'll keep my promise, but I am not going to go with you." And Moses said, "We will not go unless you go with us." They would not be satisfied with the land flowing with milk and honey, with every village and every city, you know, crops they didn't raise, trees they didn't grow. "We won't be satisfied with the material things unless you go with us." That's what that desire means, to want to sit at His table and eat until we're satisfied. You and I must cultivate a hunger for God and remove, and this is probably the key. If you're going to cultivate a hunger for God, we must remove everything that hinders us from pursuing a life of integrity, purity, and correctness in our thinking and our feeling. Here's how we grow in spiritual hunger. First, is we must truly seek Him. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." Seek God. Live righteously. Trust Him to meet your needs. Many of us have unmet needs, whether it's an unmet need for love or for satisfaction or joy or relationships. We have many unmet needs because we are seeking worldly answers and worldly desires and pleasures, instead of seeking the one true God who can truly fill your heart and meet that need. All of us are guilty of this at times, seeking the things of this world to bring us pleasure. Well, if we're going to grow in our spiritual hunger, we need to learn to truly seek Him and put Him above the things of this world. Next, we need to exercise our faith. Paul said, 1 Timothy, he said, "Don't waste your time arguing over godless ideas or old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. training and exercise of your faith. Now, go home and flip through the channels. I don't think you're going to find anything for sale that's going to help with this, okay? There's not going to be any kind of machine or equipment or any kind of DVD where you just plug and play. I don't think it's good. In fact, here in our world, what are we doing? We're spending our time and energy and money on more gyms, more equipment, more DVDs, and yet the problem of obesity and people being out of shape is getting worse and worse. It's not solving the problem, is it? In spite of all this, the problem gets worse. This is what Paul said. Training to be godly. Promises. Okay, this is not the promise you see on TV, okay? Promises much better results in this life and the life to come. Training to be righteous means to be practicing the spiritual disciplines. I started out the message asking, how many of you have fasted? Let me ask you a question. Jesus had a comment to people who were fasting, okay? He said, there's a lot of people who fast to get attention, right? Oh, I'm holy. Look at me. I'm fasting and I'm downcast. And okay, I'm fasting. I'm downcast. Anyway, as he dismisses those people, he says this. He says, when you fast. Now, how many of you know English really well? When you fast. Okay, all of God's people should be practicing fasting. You know, and there was only like 10 of you that raised your hands. Now, I'm guessing the other 10 of you were too embarrassed to raise your hand. That means the rest of you have never fasted. Have you fasted from one meal? You know, whenever CIY, you guys know CIY is? CIY has been going on for about 30 years. They take the kids, high school age kids, and they go away for a week. You know, and on Thursdays, if I remember right, you know what they do? They don't eat lunch, and they take their money, that money they would have spent on lunch, and they give it to some kind of cause. I don't remember the whole scenario, and every week, every year, it's a little different. But even these high school kids, they get them to practice fasting just one meal a week. Take that same money and give it to some cause. I'm just giving you an example. You know what? Fasting is something you should be practicing. It is a spiritual discipline. Spending time in prayer. How much time have you... I'm serious. How much time have you spent alone with God? Not at a mealtime, not right before you go to bed for 2 minutes, but just to sit down and talk to God. How much time have you spent just sitting down, reading God's Word? Just read a chapter, think about what it says. You know, this morning, because I've got all, every so often I just change up my habits. This morning, I grabbed this button, not this one, but one just like it. I grabbed it, I sat down on the couch, I opened it up, and I thought, that's kind of interesting. And I just started reading. And you know what? It was exactly what God wanted me to hear this morning. Joshua chapter 1. I'm not going to share it right now, but how often do you just sit down with the Bible in God's presence and just ask Him to speak to your heart? You know, God's Word is nourishment for your soul. How healthy is your soul if you're never spending any time alone with God, fasting, praying? I'm serious. Just ask yourself the question, how healthy is my spiritual life? If you want to be training yourself, think about it. You work out when I'm going to work out, how long I'm going to work out, what exercises I'm going to do, the foods I'm going to eat. Probably some of you devote a lot of time to your physical health, physically training. How much time do you spend with your spiritual disciplines? Okay, I'm moving on. Here we go. I think I've belabored that point. Be sincere in seeking after God. Don't do it half-heartedly. We all know that anything worth having is not going to come easy. Work at it. Paul said that he promised blessings if you would just work at it. The training and exercise of this life is not going to benefit you, but he promised there's going to be benefits for spiritual training. Number three, endure affliction. Now, none of us want to be afflicted, but this is another way in which God produces hunger within inside of us. You know, I yearn for God because I'm going through this trial. Now, none of us are going to seek after affliction, but when it comes, how you approach that mentally and emotionally and prayerfully determines whether or not this is going to be something that benefits your spiritual hunger and desire for God. This is what James said in chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Isn't that incredible? Even when things aren't going my way, when I'm afflicted, when I'm facing trials, God has a plan and purpose for that. If you will only consider it an opportunity for spiritual growth instead of something to fight against or to be angry about or to complain about. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been really hungry? Okay, really hungry, but it's just a couple hours before dinner, before supper, evening meal. Okay, suppose your spouse or one of your parents is cooking a great meal for dinner, but you're famished. Has anybody ever had that happen? Just admit it. Come on, one of you have had. Okay. Yeah. You've been famished. You know, it's almost dinner time, and you're thinking, man, you walk by the refrigerator four or five times, open it up and look in the... Does anybody else do that? Does anybody else look... You know, I don't know why they don't put glass doors in the front of the refrigerator. It'd save a lot of electricity, wouldn't it? We could just... There'd be fingerprints, I'm sure. Anyway, well, last Monday, Monday night is our family night. Last Monday, one of my sons, he's not here, I could embarrass him. But anyway, so there's only two that are not here, just in case you got the, in case you're wondering. Anyway, last Monday, one of our sons came home and had a late lunch after 3 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, when we sit down to eat, he's like, I'm not hungry. Ever had this happen to you or one of your kids do this to you? Okay, well, guess what? He wasn't hungry when he sat down. And this is the exact same thing that happens to us in a spiritual sense with our spiritual desires. Okay, this is what happens when we consume or we pursue things in this world. We are satisfying our appetite temporarily and we're not having any spiritual hunger for God. We fill ourselves with worldly things that diminish our appetite. Just like eating right before your mom has food on the table. But here's one of the things that we do. 1 John, he says this. Don't love the world, nor the things that it offers. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. In this case, you don't have the capacity to love the Father. When you are satisfying yourself with the things of this world, pleasures, work, you name it, whatever money can buy, you love the world. You have an idol in your life that is now satisfying you when God wants to be satisfying you instead. 1 Peter chapter 2. Another piece of advice if we are going to have a proper have the appetite and hunger for God. 1 Peter 2:1 says this. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Now, how do you get rid of deceit? He said to get rid of deceit. I just want you to think about it. How do I get rid of deceit? How do I get rid of hypocrisy? Or jealousy? How do I get rid of these things? Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus. When your eyes are on Jesus, when your desire is to do nothing but please Him, the things of this world, the appetites, the desires, the deceit, the hypocrisy, jealousy, these things are no longer your focus. If you want to cultivate spiritual hunger and passion for holiness, you must get rid of sin. Every weight that slows you down, and you do this by keeping your eyes on Jesus. You have to take your focus off the cares of this world, which has caused so many to stray away from Christ. Everyone here would admit at certain times you're straying away from Christ. All of us would admit that. And the problem isn't that God has somehow moved. Somehow the problem is we have moved. We've changed our appetites, our desires, the direction of our life for today or tomorrow for this week has changed. And this is what happens to some people. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus, when he's sharing the parable of the sower, he says this: the seed, that is the truth, the word of God, that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. This is what happens to us when we take our eyes and our focus off Jesus. And when we have no spiritual hunger and appetite. In order to grow our appetite for holiness, we must truly seek Him. Make knowing Him and living for Him a priority in your life. You must exercise your faith. Practice the spiritual disciplines. Fasting, praying, reading, meditating, serving, fasting, sitting in silence and just listening. We must accept the trials and temptations of life as an opportunity to grow in our desire. Help me to grow in my desire and my hunger for you as I endure this pain in whatever form that it comes. And lastly, we must get rid of everything that entangles us. The things that you love more than you love God. This is how you cultivate an appetite for righteousness. Now, what did Jesus promise to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? He said, you will be completely satisfied. Now, don't you want to be completely satisfied? Don't you believe Jesus when He said that you, if you just hunger after Me, you hunger after holiness, you hunger after the approval of God, you foster that and you have that desire. Don't worry, I am going to satisfy you. You're going to sit at My table until you're full. Listen, do not waste your life. This moment, going forward, do not waste the rest of your life pursuing the things that will never satisfy you and that were never meant to. The only lasting and fulfilling satisfaction in life is found in a growing appetite for righteousness. This means an all-consuming desire to know God, to be like Him, and to live your life to please Him. That's it. God blesses those who truly hunger and thirst and are satisfied with a righteous life, which is the inner life in Christ. Not the outward works of behavior, but with the inner life, that desire, that passion. This is the bottom line, which I'm just restating this verse. Bottom line is this: God blesses those who hunger. That is, who are needy and seek with eager desire. And who thirst, who painfully long to have their soul refreshed for the approval of God. For they will sit at His table until they want nothing more. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. I want to close as the worship team comes forward and the elders come forward, as well as the deacons. As the worship team comes forward, I'm going to close with these words by Peter in 2 Peter. This is so important. You know, if you would write this down, this passage, 2 Peter 3, chapter 1, 3 to 8. If you just read this and truly believe it, it will change your perspective. Listen to this. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That means all of you. If you know Jesus Christ, He's your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, God Himself has given you everything you need for a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and with knowledge, self-control. And self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more productive, the more useful, the more you seek after pleasing God, the more you're going to please Him. The more that's going to satisfy you. God has given you everything you need to live a godly life. Will you make every effort to respond to His promises? Or are you going to leave His promises on the table? I've heard Jim Cymbalist say, one day we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be escorted from room to room. And over here, He's going to open this door. And it's going to be all the blessings that God had for you. Every gift, every answer to prayer, everything you needed, just sitting on tables, laid out. He's going to walk you through and you're going to see everything that you needed through your life. And God was going to say, I was ready to give that to you, but you didn't ask. You didn't seek. That's what's at stake. I'm begging you. Make the decision right now. Don't wait 20 minutes or 30 minutes or later this afternoon. Decide right here, right now. I'm going to do everything in my power. Make every effort to live this godly life. I want Jesus Christ. I want to sit at His table. And I don't want anything in this world to satisfy me that's going to hinder me. Shake it off. Remove it. Please. Christ begs you right now. We're going to close in prayer. And before we do, I want you to know, if you are here today, you don't know Jesus Christ, nothing I said really means anything to you. The fact of the matter is, we can't live this holy life. There is no Holy Spirit indwelling and empowering and enabling you to pursue this. You have to start there, giving your life over to Jesus Christ, surrendering and yielding to Him. And if you haven't today, please come forward. No one's going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray with you and get this started. And if you're sitting there today and you're ready to walk out, you're like, you know what, I'm going to leave here. I'm determined. Please, walk out of here determined. Make every effort. And just as we're praying over the communion, which we're going to do in a minute, just ask God to change your heart. Okay, we're going to pray now. Lord Jesus, please fill us with You this morning. Please fill us with a hunger and a passion for You that cannot be satisfied for the things of this world. Change our hearts and our minds. Your Holy Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of our own sinful nature. And I'm begging You to do that for all of us right now. That everyone will walk out of here determined to make every effort to live that holy and godly life. Make every effort to cultivate a hunger and passion and desire for You, Lord. Please, don't let any one of us one day walk in there in heaven and see all of those blessings just sitting on the table because we refused. We refused to ask. We refused to seek Your approval and to live that life. Lord, speak to us all as we meditate, as we reflect on Your body and Your blood that was shed for us. Bring glory to Yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.